Today's episode of the Monday Rundown is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags. The Minnesota Vikings are headed to the NFC Championship game. It's time to get your skull flag out in front of your house. Maybe you're a Phoenix Suns fan living in the middle of Iowa. You can get your Suns flag at Heartland Flags. Maybe you're a Washington Wizards fan living in the middle of central Iowa. You can get your Washington Wizards flag at Heartland Flags, heartlandflags.com. Or their showroom down in Des Moines. Heartland Flags, the presenting sponsor of the Cyclone Fanatic Monday Rundown. Rob Gray, what's up, brother?
Not much. How you doing, Jared?
I'm good. It feels like we got a little bit of an echo here, but I think that we are okay. Iowa State has a Big 12 win now, and the Vikings have exercised their demons.
Yeah. What a weird game. I mean, I've seen that movie so many times where you do just enough of the wrong things, as spectacularly wrong as you can, mm-hmm. and put yourself in a position for a one-point loss in a game you were dominating and probably should have continued to dominate. And then Keenum to Diggs happens, and the odd play, and the I told the story on Twitter, but I promised my daughter I was going to take her to a movie, so I was listening to Paul Allen called the field goal, the Saints field goal, to put him up. And then we're getting the popcorn, and my wife texts me something like, "It's a miracle." And I can't tell you how happy I was. I was going to that movie pretty mad. Plus, the weather wasn't that great, but I said I was going to take her. We're going to be disappointed if I didn't. So I didn't actually get to see it until later. But you know, it's the same feeling. It's the same feeling. And I was just like, ah, I was in such a bad mood going in there. And then it's like, oh. This will make the already great film even more enjoyable.
What movie did you see?
Saw Turner Classic Movies throw some things through some of the larger theaters and went to the Century of Jordan Creek and saw Treasure of the Sierra Madre, a 1948 classic. And my daughter's kind of started to like some old movies, which I love because I love them as well. So, you know, kept that promise and the Vikings surprised me in a pleasant way for a change.
Definitely. Like I said, Iowa State gets their first Big 12 win of the season on Saturday, 75-65 over the Baylor Bears. This is the thing that stuck out to me on the stat sheet after the game. I mean, obviously, you see Lindell Wigginton scores 30 points. That's pretty notable. But it was the fact that they were able to score 75 points and win by 10 when Donovan Jackson goes, I think, 1 of 10 from the field and scores 3 points.
Yeah.
So when you're second leading scorer, I guess he was your leading scorer going into the game, second leading scorer is essentially completely negated from the game, and yet you still win by 10 against a team that has been ranked for portions of the year. That's pretty impressive.
It is, and it's a real head-scratcher for why Donovan is not played his best basketball, to put it mildly, at Hilton, but he's just been – you know, torrid on the road. I mean, just and look, there are lots of explanations for it, I suppose. But like you said, the encouraging thing is we didn't know if this team could weather a performance like that from one of the three guards.
Right.
And they did. And he had some good looks. They weren't always great shots, but he had some good looks. It didn't go down, much like Lindell did when he was on his little cold streak for those two games. And he'll be back. But, to get that win against – Baylor's been stymieing people with their zone this year regularly.
And I mean, what'd they lose to West Virginia by 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They kind of had that game.
Right.
But as we've seen throughout this season, always in the Big 12, but that little lapse, that just little thing that goes wrong is going to be the difference in these 1-2 possession games.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think that – the thing that is encouraging to me is they won that game. They played right, you know, they played the two games overtime, then they lost Kansas so close. They haven't played a perfect game yet, you know. Like, I don't think they've played their best yet, and there's still a lot of season left. So if you get some performances where all three of those guards play at the level that they're capable of, I mean, you can – there's a very good chance that they can beat some good teams.
Absolutely. And that's one thing I was thinking as well. I mean, a lot of flaws in that game.
Yeah.
One of the things that's also good about this team, and it's not just because of how good Cameron Lard is on the glass, and at times Solomon Young is obviously was great against Baylor with 12 boards, but the proficiency, how proficient the guards are at getting board, you know, particularly Weiler, Babb, and and Wigginton, you know, this is a the best Iowa State rebounding team I've seen in a long time.
Who would have? I mean, who could have ever expected coming into the year that Nick Weiler Babb would be the team's leading rebounder? Like, I didn't see that. You know, I mean, I guess it wouldn't have been shocking, but he has the same number of rebounds as he does assists.
Yeah,
and I think that's. I mean, that kind of flies under the radar a little bit. About 123 rebounds and 123 assists.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Indeed. Indeed. And especially the defensive glass, which has been an issue.
Is he the best rebounding guard Iowa State has had since DeAndre Kane?
I no question.
Yeah.
No question. And I would say arguably he might even be – no, he's not better because I remember some of those games DeAndre had. But, I mean, he's right there with him. And, I mean, that's another thing. It doesn't fly under the radar anymore that he's so frequently like 12-9-7 or 12-8-6. I mean, he's becoming consistent in that way. And it's quiet when he does it sometimes.
Well, and he's doing that, you know, he's getting 12-9-6, and then he's adding a steal. You know, or like he's averaging like a steal and a half.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that makes it even more, I mean, he completely stuffs the entire stat sheet, you know, like just a complete player. And it's crazy that a move to point guard is what it took to kind of unlock that. And he's been quietly a pretty solid three-point shooter too. And I think it's more timely. Like he'll just knock one down at a point where maybe they've, things have fallen apart a little bit. And then all of a sudden he'll step up, come down and just size one up and knock it down. What is he? 32%. I mean, that's not shooting the cover off the ball, but it, like I said, it seems like they're more timely than anything else that he'll find a way to knock one down when they really need it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you're starting to see that from all three of those guys. I mean, Wigginton just has been on fire after that 4-for-21 stretch. And in every way, I mean, he is fearlessly getting to the rack, and he's starting to get some calls, which was the focus of one of the articles I had, that he got to kind of earn that a little bit. Well, he's just been relentlessly going at it that way, and his three-point shot is the – I mean, what's he up to, about 43%?
Yeah, 42.5%.
So
34 of 80.
I mean, that's, you know, you've mentioned it. I mean, that's the – you didn't expect that part of his game to be there so quickly.
Right.
And there it is.
Well, and that was kind of the question mark, especially like after those first couple games that they played, when it finally seemed like he was getting it down to where he could get to the rim and finish. It was like, okay, can he shoot the ball well enough to keep people honest? And he's proven in these three games that clearly he's more than capable of doing that, you know? So, I mean, and I wrote this on Saturday, and it, you know, I feel like it probably could, it sounds like hyperbole, but like, as long as he is playing and if he keeps getting better, like, I mean, what's the ceiling for the program as long as he's here, you know? I mean, he's going to be as good as anybody in college basketball next year. I'm confident about that.
I agree. I mean,
I would not be shocked if he was a preseason All-American with some people coming into next year based on the way he has played this season.
I could see that. He does so many things so well. Probably as any freshman would have to improve on the defensive end.
Yeah.
He's getting steals.
But then, he held Manu Lecomte like 9 points below his season average on Saturday. And he only went, what, like 2-for-12 from
the
field?
Yeah, he did not shoot it well. Neither Baylor didn't as a team, especially beyond the arc. But, which was how refreshing is that for a team not to light it up from beyond the arc against Cyclones? But their defense is getting better.
That Baylor team was not impressive to me, though. That might be the worst Baylor team I've seen come in here in a while.
Yeah, and I was obviously you and Chris were here. I was just watching it on the TV.
Yeah.
But I would say that's I think it comes down to making shots for them, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think defensively they're pretty good. They don't have the guys in the paint that just dominate you.
Well, like that's what
Masterton. It's still he's okay. I mean, there's some guys that are okay, but
that's what I was talking to Chris about. It's like before you had Jonathan Motley or Isaiah Austin, guys like that. Like, you knew that they could throw them the ball on the block. And when it, when they came in to play Iowa State, like, they could get a bucket anytime they wanted to, really. You
or
know?
Or a bushel of offensive rebounds to push out to other guys.
How many points did Motley have that 1 year? I mean, it seemed, it felt like about 50, but I think he probably had like 25.
Yeah, and like 14 or something.
It was like the – not the time when he took the timeout at the under – before the under eight, but the time after that.
Yeah.
And I we got to that point, and I was like, just wait, he's going to pull. He had three timeouts left. I was like, Scott Drew's got too many timeouts right now to for us to not be scared. But, that Baylor team is just not very impressive to me. Mm-hmm. And I said this multiple times before the game, like, they just don't have that Pierre Jackson, Kenny Cherry type guy that has, you know, that can really break you down off the bounce. Like, mm-hmm. LeCompte's a good player, but he's not a point guard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So – I don't know. I mean, I like this win, and it was one that you had to really fight for, and for them to have been down at the under four timeout and still win by 10, that's pretty impressive considering the way they'd struggled to finish out games the couple weeks before that. But I don't know. I don't think – I would not be that surprised, honestly, after watching Baylor, if Iowa State finished ahead of them in the final standings.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. I still think – Drew's a good coach. I think he'll find a way to maximize what he can get out of this roster, which still has a lot of talent on it. But, very different team.
And he said – I mean, he even said – like, this is what's so crazy. He's been in the Big 12 for almost, 15 years, pushing 20, you know. And he says, like, this is one of those – this is a league where you look at every game, it's like, well, we're going to have to make shots if we're going to win. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's no Nebraska who you can go in even on their home court and beat them by 20. Yeah. Or, you know, some of those years, Colorado wasn't very good. Even Iowa State had some years that they weren't very good, where, you know, a lot of the good teams could go look at that game. And obviously TCU the past couple seasons, Oklahoma State the past couple seasons. You looked at that and it's like, you know, we don't have to play our best that night to win that game. But now all 9 other teams you look at, it's like we have to play at least our B game to go in there and win that game, you know. And a C or a, you know, C- isn't going to win you a game like it would have at some points before.
Exactly. And now they go into TCU on the road. I mean, you touched on it. What a kind of bellwether week for Iowa State. I mean, you finally get the first win after four tough losses. Again, the K-State no-show, as Coach Prohm has called it. But then three that – yeah, you were in a position you could win. Yeah, at KU, I mean, they battled back a few times. I don't think, but they're still right there.
Yeah.
Got to get at least one of these this week, and it's so tough. I mean, Tech is playing great basketball, and you got them coming here, but you got to find a way to at least get one of these two and start to get some positive vibes going forward and start to even up that ledger ever so slowly to hopefully making a run.
We'll talk about this key week ahead for the Iowa State Cyclones when we come back. You're listening to the Monday Rundown presented by Cyclone Fanatic and Heartland Flags.
Hey guys, it's Chris. Want to take a quick break on this podcast here at Cyclone Fanatic to tell you about my friends at Ames Eye Clinic and Des Moines Eye Care. These are great fanatics. They are jumping on board, supporting what we are doing here. You know why? Because you guys support them. They accept all sorts of medical and vision plans. A couple of convenient locations located in Ames and also in Des Moines. AmesEyeClinic.com, Des Moines EyeCare.com. They offer same week appointments. They can do anything from a routine vision exam to a medical eye exam. Got a large selection of eyewear, also for your contact lenses. So if you're in the need for some eye care, I want to tell you about our friends at Ames Eye Clinic and Des Moines Eye Care. Support them because they support Cyclone Fanatic. Now, back to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Hey, thanks, C-Dub, and welcome back to the Monday Rundown presented by Heartland Flags. Rob mentioned it before our short break. Iowa State with a big week this week. Number 24 TCU on the road in Fort Worth on Wednesday. And then the number 8 Texas Tech Red Raiders coming to town for another afternoon tilt at Hilton Coliseum on Saturday. When I was telling you this after the Steve Prohm press conference, I feel like they have an opportunity to get at least one of these games this week. It feels like I mean, TCU's going to be tough. And you said this, that, you know, if you're ever going to get TCU's best punch, this is going to be it, considering the way that they have lost all, you know, four of their conference games by a combined 5, 6, 11 points. They're going to be ready to roll, you know. And for them to be number 24 team in the nation and be 1-4 in conference play, that if that doesn't speak to the strength of the Big 12, I don't know what does.
Well, and the margin of error that Coach Prohm talks about all the time applies to every team this year.
Yeah.
Every team. I mean, West Virginia has found a way. Kansas found a way, except for the one loss, the where Tech came in and beat them pretty soundly on in Allen Fieldhouse. But it's still early in the season. And you touched on the CC minus. If you have those types of efforts, you can't. I mean, if Iowa State can have BA games this week, I would not be surprised to see them sweep it and get them back to .300, you know, getting close to .500. That would be ideal. Now, do I think that'll happen? I mean, I think it's going to be hard to get one. And I'm not sure which one is going to be harder.
It's always going to be hard.
But, I mean, no matter how well you play. I mean, the one thing I think is if they continue to improve on defense – and if they continue to not, I mean, how many times do they hit a big shot? And Coach Prohm talks about it. The other team comes down and shoots a transition three, wide open, gets it, and something happens. I mean, not only stringing together good possessions on the offensive end, but then great stops. See, and that's been very inconsistent this year.
My thing is, TCU is going to be difficult. Like, I don't know about that one. But that Saturday game against Texas Tech, and I told you, you know, I said this too, that's one. If you can win it, that's a season definer. I mean, if they're still going to be in the top 10 coming in here, and yeah, I know that they've played well so far in conference play, but I mean, think about where we're at, man. You know, like if there's ever going to be a time that you're going to beat that team, it's probably going to be here. And I don't know, if you come out and play well, I feel like you're giving yourself more than an opportunity to be able to win that game. And it's going to, like you said, I mean, it's going to be tough. Obviously, there's a reason they're number 8 team in the country. But I don't know. I feel like this is a week that they're going to figure out a way to get one of these.
Yeah, well, I go back to what you touched on and that I was thinking about today coming here, that they haven't, I mean, not only have they not played an A game, they haven't come close to playing an A game.
Yeah.
The Cyclones. I expect that they get one of those and one of these two, and I like you would rather see it happen here, because then you have the intangible elements of fans are still going to be back in this place to see if Iowa State can knock off a top 10 team after some struggles, obviously. This team's close to getting it right, but again, that goes back to the Big 12. That's how everyone – how much is TCU looking at that? You know, they even more strong. They have an even stronger case than the Cyclones that they should be 3-2. Not that they could be, but they absolutely should be.
Right.
And again, every team's got these things because all these games are so close. No matter where they, I mean, it's going to get wilder and wilder. And I don't think we've seen anything. I mean, I think we're surprise is going to be the defining term.
Yeah.
Of this Big 12 conference season.
All right. Are they going to get one then? Give me your prediction. What do they go this week?
I think they go 1-1.
Which one do they get?
I'm kind of with you that they get Tech. They put together an A game. They're great on offense. They play solid D, and they get what they got against Baylor. Finally, a team that wasn't hitting some of their shots.
Yeah.
And I think they battle at TCU, but again, so much on the line for TCU in that game. And we know what Brodzianski can do to the Cyclones. I mean, they've got so much talent on their roster. Coach Prohm touched on it today that, okay, look at 1-4, but they played Oklahoma twice.
Yeah.
They got Kansas, and their road games were not cupcakes. They're at Baylor, tough place to win, and I'm trying to remember.
They've played Oklahoma, at Baylor, Kansas, at Texas, at Oklahoma.
Yeah, and Texas is playing pretty good basketball right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and again, they should have won two more of those games. I mean, they're just.
Their four losses are a combined 11 points.
Yeah, yeah. And as Prohm said, they're going to be chomping at the bit, and he said the Cyclones better be too. And I think they will be. I think that's going to be a hell of a game. But I'm much more optimistic about things coming together in a way that can maybe reshape the season going forward with Tech here.
I'm excited that I get to see my friends Scott Drew and Chris Beard on back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, that's.
I'm very disappointed in the news that someone threw a lemon at Coach Drew.
I don't understand that.
No.
One of the nicest guys in the world. He cheered on the Cyclones. You know.
And then he came right back and he complimented them.
Yeah.
Well, after he said they made a bad throw. But I was just laughing. I was like, where do you even get a lemon? Yeah, like, to throw one.
And you bring one with you. It's like, yeah. I'm telling you, I'm going to throw a lemon.
Yeah.
He's telling his buddies, I'm going to throw a lemon at Scott Drew. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. I'm going to show him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You got to throw a lemon a long ways, too, to hit. Scott Drew was out at half court half the time during the game. That's an interesting decision. All right, last thing I wanted to touch on. Today, Joel Lanny named a finalist.
Quote, unquote.
Quote, unquote, finalist for the Lombardi Award. I didn't even know that they'd changed the Lombardi Award to where it was now goes to all positions.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Originally, it went to only – see, and that's – it. I've always thought of that as being one of the more prestigious college football awards when it went to either a linebacker or a defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And now it goes to anyone. So that kind of is odd to me.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. But always good to see your name on a list that has the last name Lombardi on it.
Yeah, well, and it had some of the other finalists. I can't imagine Joel is going to win this award based on.
Yeah, he probably should have won the Horning.
Yeah.
If it was, I mean, true to its.
Some of the other finalists, Saquon Barkley, JT Barrett.
Chubb.
Yeah, that's not the Chubb that you're thinking of. Shaquem Griffin from UCF, the defensive lineman with one hand. Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Ed Oliver, who won the. I want to say he won something. The defensive lineman at Houston. I feel like he won the Lombardi. I'm really confused by all these awards. There's a lot of weird awards.
Yeah, there are.
Because I feel like somebody won the Lombardi. He won the Outland. Okay, no, that's what it was. Yeah. I'm all thrown off.
There's so many, and now you've got the advanced metrics, which is always cool, and the PFF stuff, that's really cool.
The Lombardi is actually one of the great nondescript trophies. Yeah, that's pretty sweet. Have you seen this? Bad radio here. See?
Very
nice.
That's
a cool one. That's
very nice.
That would be nonetheless, Joel was named a finalist. They'll be naming what I've deemed the 7 super finalists on January 22nd. I personally would be surprised to see Joel in that group of 7. But if he was, that'd be pretty cool. There's some Bryce Love, some pretty good names on that list that probably will be the actual finalists. But nonetheless, to have a guy in the top 21, pretty cool.
Absolutely.
You got anything else that you want to touch on today?
I don't think so. We've got availability with players coming up here shortly, and have some stuff written and usual stuff coming this week.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Stans and Fitz back Tuesday night, the Fawcast. Have you listened to Chris's interview with Matt Campbell?
I've been saving it for a good extended session I want to give my whole attention to.
It's very good.
I'm sure it's fantastic.
Yeah, very well done. Chris did a really nice job in that about 45-minute conversation with Iowa State's head football coach, so I highly suggest you check that out here early on in the week. And then, like I said, we'll have all of our normal podcasts throughout the remainder of the week as well. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks again to Heartland Flags for being the presenting sponsor of the Monday Rundown, and we will talk to you guys again soon.